Hey everybody, this is Molotov Cupcake, and this is the third episode of the Spawn Kill Killcast. Aren't you excited? I know I am. I'm joined by two of my lovely minions. Did I say minions? I meant writers. Stephanie and Eric, but you might know him as The Herb, but we don't try to publicize that because it's kind of a bad name. But anyway, we have a lot of important things to talk about in the video game universe, and I'm a girl, so it must be important, because I wouldn't be talking about it otherwise. Just joking. You all know I'm kidding, right? Right? Okay. Anyway, we'd like to start out with a little bit of what we've been playing in our spare time, which here lately it isn't a lot, because we don't have that much time. At least I don't. So who'd like to start?
Anyone?
Well, since you're asking, for the majority, I mean, I've been spending a ridiculous amount of time with Dragon Age. I really wanted to set it aside for winter break because I knew how much time it was going to take out of my life. So I was like, oh, let me get a little taste of this. And then a little taste turned into 15 hours. It's incredibly addictive. And if you played Mass Effect, and you liked it a lot, it's a lot like that, just more fantasy realm. And I feel like I have to do every single side quest because I just have to. They're so good. Something that I thought was pretty cool, though, that they added, well, not cool, but different, I would say, that I give props to BioWare for. If you played Mass Effect as a female character, you'll know that you had the ability to dig another chick, alien style, or human character, male, whatever. But if you were a guy, you couldn't go with another guy. You can only date an alien chick or a human chick, whatever. Right. So in Dragon Age, they added that if you're playing a male character, you can actually get, you know, down and dirty with the gay elf.
Cowboy butt sex.
So, it has to be the elf?
What?
It has to be the elf.
No. I think you can be gay with either of the... There's only two male and two female love romances, I believe, that you can select from, which isn't really much, but the elf is pretty gay. I actually heard that if you're playing as a girl, he's a lot harder to mate with.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Mating?
Yeah. So props to BioWare for making me play a lesbian twice in a row.
If BioWare was in Spanish, we would say Bioware. I just made that up.
How is the inventory system in that game? Is it that much different from Mass Effect? Because I had a lot of issues with the Mass Effect.
Oh, man. In Mass Effect, I would have like a million items just start... I couldn't even take it anymore. I would just convert everything to Omnigel after a while.
Because
I didn't even
want to
look at the items. Yeah. Dragon Age does have a bit of an issue. You get like... I think it starts out with 80 slots or 60. I'm not sure how much it starts with in the beginning. But you have the ability to buy backpacks from different shop vendors, which extends it by a few units. But you're still going to be pretty close to the top unless you... Well, I'm used to hoarding, I guess, and I'm pretty selfish, but you really shouldn't be like that in this game because you really don't get a lot of gold. So if you're playing the PC version, I know you're all cheating if you have the really nice armor. Hint, hint, you know who I'm talking to. But if you buy the DLC, kind of a trick and a little insulting, but I heard the DLC is pretty good. You get an inventory box where you can store your items. But
okay.
you can't get it otherwise.
Like Mass Effect, where you had that locker in your ship.
Yeah, except I never used it.
But like, how does it work when? Because in Mass Effect, you know, you couldn't easily compare what you just got to what you were wearing or the people you were with are wearing. Is it still the same way?
It's actually really
Dragon Age?
It's really organized, actually. Whatever you have on, whenever you're at the shop, you pull up the items and you can just press the X button while I'm playing on the Xbox. But if you press the X button, it'll bring up the compare screen and it'll compare to your stats and everything. And if you just hit the bumper, you can scroll through each character and see how it would be for each character. It's really organized.
I was using that earlier, the compare button. I was like, yes, and I don't have to read all this tiny font that I can't read on my television.
It's really nice. Worth it. It's organized, definitely, I will say. So
that's all you've been playing?
Well, I was playing a little bit, well, a lot, actually, of Resident Evil The Dark Side Chronicles. I actually had something to boot up my Wii with for once in a while, which felt pretty good. Yeah, wow.
The last thing I used my Wii for was, I got a disease. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. Sorry.
Oh, that game. Yeah. That game was, That was bad. That was like herpes bad, like the herp.
Hey.
But that game's actually, it's not bad. It was pretty good. I had a lot of fun with it. I put a lot more hours into it than I expected. And I actually just posted up my review of it today.
Which we all
today
read.
Being Monday. Yeah, check it out if you're wondering about it and see if you're a fan. It's, or if you're just someone wanting to experience some of the games. Because it summarizes some of the past games like Resident Evil 2 and Code Veronica. So if you never got a chance to play those, they actually do a very good job at, not very good, but a decent job at storytelling if you've never experienced it before. As opposed to the previous one did a terrible job at that. You got like 3-minute intervals summary of the whole game.
It's following the footsteps of Dead Space Extraction.
Was that good?
It was really good. I actually have a review about that, and it's months late, but my apologies. It's still
What did you end up giving it?
I think I gave it, I don't remember.
No, you have to check the review.
Yeah, you have to go check the review. No handouts. Go click on it.
Can't just be giving away scores like some prostitute.
I know, Scoho. You can just go look, okay? Thanks. That's how we roll up in this sucker. Oh,
it was good, though. You liked it, right?
I liked it. It was a very good game, and I liked it, and it was on the Wii. And there's a commercial on TV about a hot pink car that currently has my attention. What is this? Okay, I'm back.
Oh, come on. You have, like, ADD. Ultimate ADD. Have either of you guys been playing Left 4 Dead at all, the new one?
Yeah, I actually played a couple of the campaigns, the first two.
What do you guys think?
I just got it.
Oh, you picked it up. So I remember you said.
Yeah.
One of our staff members was playing it a little while ago on Steam. But he's not on here right now. We miss him sorely.
We do. Yeah, he just DM'd me and told me he fell asleep, but he's not important right now, so I'm not going to shout out to him.
We're really important, but you know why?
He does fail.
You know why we're important? Because we're girls. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, man. Stop. You're going to make me think of that terrible, terrible article, but we won't reference it because we're professionals.
That's right. We are very, muy profesional.
Your Spanish is not bad. I was actually one of those jerks who like took a crap on Left 4 Dead before it came out. I still am on the same playing ground. I knew it was going to be a great game because, you can't really go backwards in quality for Left 4 Dead. So there was no way it was going to be a bad game. It was just a little insulting that 1 year later a full game comes out. That pretty much means that Left 4 Dead 2 was pretty much done by the time Left 4 Dead 1 came out.
And it is exactly the same game. It's just got really great augments that make it worth playing.
Exactly. It's definitely a great game, and it is it does have better features over the first one. Not features, actually. It's not even new features much.
It has a whole new attitude. I like the little excerpts of storyline and the dialogue between the characters. It's pretty good. You never really had that before. You'd have like the occasional Zoe's, "I'm gonna die. Okay, I'm gonna die." And then, when you wanted to be crazy. Zoe. Francis.
I like the characters better, though, in the first one. I feel like they had more personality. The characters in this game are just a little stereotypical. Like, the fat black guy is just the fat black guy that talks about chicken wings and stuff.
And then the hick is, Jason off True Blood. That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah. They're nothing special. They're pretty stereotypical characters, but...
Rochelle likes Depeche Mode, though, so she's edgy.
Yeah. I guess so.
Like their edginess factor.
The campaigns are good, though. There actually is like an inkling of story behind each one. They, if you play all five, they actually connect somewhat, and it's. I thought it was kind of cool. I like that.
Not
and
to
the campaigns
the finales now.
Yeah, the finales are much more interactive and much more interesting. I like it a lot.
Actually,
that's
a point.
Definite.
You're actually trying to accomplish something rather than just escape from the horde. Well, you're still doing but
you still want to do that. I would do that.
It's much less the spotlight with, the Midnight Riders.
Definitely.
That was a great part of the game. Don't want to spoil it for anyone, but definitely a highlight.
Yeah, how often do you get to experience a rock show in a zombie game?
I'd say never. Legit. Never?
Definitely never. I'd go for never.
Is that all you've been playing lately?
Pretty much, yep.
I guess I'll go next. I'll give you all a little anecdote first, if you don't mind. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I was a huge Vegeta fan. In my room, I kept a green portfolio full of black and white pictures of Vegeta that I printed on my school's printer. And I got kicked out of the library because I printed out 200 pictures from a Vegeta image gallery, and I never could figure out why I got kicked out.
Oh my God.
But they told me later. So yeah, but I had a big portfolio of images that I kept under my rocking chair that I had stuffed animals in front of so nobody would ever see it. And then I wrote all over the outside of it. It said, Veggie, I want to have your Vegeta babies, and I think Kakarot is a loser. Yeah, so I miss him a lot. But I've been playing a lot of Dragon Ball Raging Blast, and it's like we're dating again. It's like we're really able to connect again. The game. Oh,
he was my boo when I was in high school or middle school.
No,
whatever.
Just no, stop.
Vegeta.
Talking.
Yeah, he was my man.
Vegeta was never
Bulma.
Your man.
I was such a nerd. No. My friends would actually call me Bulma.
No, you can't be Bulma.
I liked
Vegeta
Piccolo
because Bulma means bloomers. Anyway, I was talking about Raging Blast, you guys, and you're still my boyfriend.
Piccolo is better.
No.
Ew.
He looks like green beans. Anyway, Dragon Ball Raging Blast. Hello. I have it on the PS3. It looks like you're playing the show. I know that they used to say that about a bunch of the old DBZ fighting games, like Ultimate Battle 22, which looks absolutely nothing like it. And it's a terrible game. And you can hardly get the characters to unlock if you use the instructions included in the manual, which I tried several times when I was younger, and I got really frustrated. But it's way better than
Grr.
That. Except for the camera angles, which when you get to the edge of the map, they kind of force you to look at the character you're fighting as, and you can't make out what's going on. And the controls are a little finicky, but it allows you to play in most all of the DBZ sagas, like the major sagas. It doesn't have the Blackwater Mist or Garlic Jr. side stories. But it'll let you play a series of what-if sagas also. So it has, like, Bardock against Goten, and you can fight against... I think there's actually a Ginyu Force audition, if you remember the Ginyu Force, because they're pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's the best DBZ fighting game they have to date, and I know I'm going to say that about the rest of them. Whenever one comes out, it's going to be better because technology gets better, graphics get better. Maybe they learn from their mistakes. I don't know, maybe they're being paid off. But it's really good. I've been playing a lot of that, and, you know, that's pretty much it. I haven't had much time this week because I've been working so much and writing my fingers to the bone. But it's pretty great. Before that, though, I finally finished Batman Arkham Asylum, like, 20 years later. I was thoroughly impressed, except for the end boss.
Even with the ending?
Yeah, I wasn't too excited.
Don't spoil
about
it!
That.
You guys will lose bones, because I'm getting it for Christmas.
I won't say anything, but after all of that journey, it was kind of anticlimactic. Like, really? That's all it takes?
Right.
Three hits? Really?
Right.
And it was, I feel like some of the battles earlier in the game trumped that by far. Especially a certain sewer level. And
well, I mean, yeah, the game is really good. The only other, I guess, boss thing that was kind of I didn't like was the Scarecrow. I mean, it looked cool, but it just kind of
maybe if they didn't drag
know, it
on,
it
in
slowed
segments.
Everything down. Yeah, yeah, but that's early in the game, by the way, so it's not spoiling anything.
No. There's a few more. It's not. It's kind of throughout the game.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I had my own issues with the game, but it was good, yeah.
It was good. I liked it a lot. I mean, it was one of the first games that I've actually actively tried to finish in a short amount of time. Well, save for Modern Warfare 2, but that's a whole entirely different story that we'll cover soon. Yeah. It was, yeah. Well, anyway, Eric, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of games. I didn't have much else to do, so I kind of hit almost everything. I got some pretty good deals on Steam. I was playing Majesty 2. I started playing Torchlight. Obviously, I'm still playing FIFA.
You and your FIFA games. I don't understand your soccer.
I did finally get a chance to play Brutal Legend, and I just beat it.
Nice.
And it's pretty good. It's a lot like Ocarina of Time.
The demo was really misleading, I thought.
Yeah, it's, well,
that's because a strange comparison.
Because you know, you play as this character who's coming in to like save these people, and then to call your car, you have to play your guitar and play a certain note. You know, kind of like the Ocarina of Time, you had to play to get your horse and like do other things, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like that, where you're playing your guitar to do all of these like special moves and call in like backup and all that stuff like that. And I mean, the world is really cool, the characters are really cool, the fights and like the RTS stuff works actually pretty well for a console RTS. But you know, I mean, it's kind of long. I don't know. I did almost everything in the game, and it took me about 10 hours. So yeah, but it was good. I'm glad I played it, for sure.
I yet to finish it. I still have it in my Gamefly sleeve. I played about 20 minutes of it, but what I did play, I was really impressed with, even though it was a lot different from the demo. I didn't realize it was going to be an RTS, which I typically don't gravitate toward, but I cut it a little slack. It's really stylish. It's hilarious, too. I recommend it. What I played, anyway.
Yeah, it's very funny. Even, like, the intro with Jack Black, he goes to that record store. That was pretty good.
Double Fine!
that was the thing that I hated the most. It was so loud, the intro.
They change it, though.
It was, like, so much louder than everything else.
It changes, though. Rotates out.
Right. But, like, audio-wise. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It got kind of annoying at some point that I couldn't just fast teleport from one side to another, which I think could have easily been done, because they have these garages that you go to upgrade your car and to buy upgrades for your axe and your guitar and whatnot. And it seems like they could have just, there's so many of them, they could have just allowed you to teleport from the garage, from inside, to a different garage site in another part of the map. And the map isn't that big, but there's a lot of turns, and it's kind of, especially when you get to like the second half of the game, it's kind of a pain in the ass to go like all the way back and forth. This, you know, especially if you're trying to get the trophies or the achievements.
It sounds a little like Prince of Persia, going back and getting the light seeds.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
So I mean, it's good though. I mean, it's something that, because I played it very early on when I was at EA, and so I knew about it, but it didn't really change too much from when I played it. I think the multiplayer part of it is what they were working on, why they delayed it. Also, the whole marketing aspect of Rocktober probably helped him, but the multiplayer part is questionable.
As is with most cases with games that are delayed due to multiplayer.
Yeah, they just tack it on, it feels like, most of the time. I don't think BioShock needs multiplayer, that's for one.
Absolutely not. And I've heard talk of, what was the game that I heard lately that was going to get multiplayer and I was absolutely horrified with?
Dead Space.
Yes, Dead Space. Why the hell does Dead Space need multiplayer? What are we going to do? Run around and line gun each other?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? What they want to do with it, other?
But... Right. It's completely unnecessary for games like that. Because the game sells itself on the amazing single player. The story. Like, games these days barely even have story. So, I mean, it's impressive when you really do have one. That's great. And then you're going to bring it down by adding that? Because it brings it down.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. I think so many companies are going that route of, you know, it didn't sell as well as we thought, so maybe if we add a multiplayer, we sell like an extra, I don't know, a couple thousand copies or whatever. But I don't know, because, you know, I
who
used
are they
to
trying to
speak
appeal
to I have no idea, because I used to talk to the person who at EA who was in charge of, you know, financing for Dead Space and all that stuff, and they had a lot of, they had really high hopes for the game, but it just didn't do as well as they had hoped. Even though I think, I mean, that was my choice for a game of the year.
It was fantastic. It was great. It was everything I loved about survival horror tossed in with a little FPS action. But here's my caveat with multiplayer in games. I'm probably going to go on a mini rant, so feel free to mute your speakers. We have a game that comes out with multiplayer, say like Halo 3, Call of Duty, Killzone, whatever you're playing right now. And then we have multiplayer on a random release that no one is going to pick up. It's not going to do well to start with. So when nobody picks it up, nobody's going to be online to play with, except maybe the devs, when you have an opportunity to play with. It's like with Ghostbusters. Stephanie got a press copy, and there wasn't anybody online to play it with because she got it so early. I'm sure that really hasn't changed, because no matter how good the multiplayer is on a franchise that's not known, chances are no one's going to get online and play it. I mean, I'm sure a handful of people are going to get online and, you know, check out the matches, but it's not going to be a mainstay. You have games like Dark Sector that were, it was a great game, and you can get it for $7 now. I mean, it was fun. I spent a lot more than that, but you have games like Dark Sector, and then BioShock, and Dead Space, and then you're going to have this tacked-on multiplayer that so much time was spent on that could have gone into making the single player more memorable, and people are going to forget about the single player and remember how bad the multiplayer was. It's just like with Xbox Live Arcade or PSN multiplayer. How many people are playing let's see, Lumines Live right now? I mean, honestly, can you even find a match? Can you even find a match for Garo Mark of the Wolves? Honestly, there's no point in having it because the shelf life just deadens a week or two after release. And then you have multiplayer achievements and trophies. There's no reason to have those. If there's no one to play with, there's no reason to add them. And I think it's just shameless excuse for saying, oh, sorry, the single player sucks, we were working on multiplayer. Nobody wanted it to start with. So
that's true. One series, it's just two games, but that I had a huge problem with that they did that to was Condemned. I know not everyone liked it, but the first Condemned. One, I loved it. I thought it was great. What? I mean, wandering around, it was really scary, the bums and
I
all the...
I was creeped out by the game, and I don't get scared by games or movies.
It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought it was cool that, like, your collectible item, you know how every game has, like, their little collectible items. Dead birds? Your character collects dead birds? That's pretty cool. In a fucked up kind of way, I guess. And I really enjoyed it, even up to the ending. The ending was kind of a cliffhanger that made me wonder, like, oh, what's going to happen? And then when I got the second one, it was not very well put together. They totally changed the mechanics to be very, very, very strongly combat-focused in a combo sense. Like, they try to get you to do multiple combos to kill your enemies. But that wasn't what the game was about. It was about, yeah, you had to kill people and beat the crap out of them with whatever you could pick up. But it had a story, and a good one. And then part two, they did that, and it seemed very half-assed. And then, lo and behold, multiplayer's on the menu, and that was bad. I didn't even want to play it. I played once just for the sake of being able to talk shit about it, to be honest with you.
And see, that's the problem with, like, reviews, too, is that you can't review a game and just forget about that multiplayer part of
it. And pretend it's not there.
Yeah, because, like, Army of Two, like, some people liked it, some people didn't, but the reviews weren't that good because of the multiplayer, really. That's what I think. Because you have a multiplayer that doesn't really work that well, but it's in the game, and you have to review it.
It's not as if it doesn't exist. You know, it's there.
Yeah, you can say, like, okay, yeah, you know, the multiplayer, you can just forget about that, but the single player is really good, but in your score, you have to reflect that. You have to reflect the multiplayer part of it.
And if you it's don't, unfortunate because sometimes the story and the single-player experience can be a great one.
Yeah, and if you don't say anything about the multiplayer, people will complain that, oh, did you even play it? Do you even know? Sometimes you really don't even have to know. It just doesn't belong there. And a great example of a great game being hindered by a subpar multiplayer, at least in my eyes, and this is a great segue, is Modern Warfare 2.
Ho!
Great single-player game. Blew me away. It was my most anticipated game of the year.
We're talking about Modern Warfare 2 here?
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't wait to play it. You all know that. I mean, both of us were, like, creaming our pants over.
We're all like that. Everybody was like that. The world was like that. Yeah, 5 million people that bought it on week one said that.
I used to play...
I was not like that.
I used to play Call of Duty 4, like, every night when I was in school and whenever I had time. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be wasting all my time with this one, too. Going to prestige, yeah. I got it. I finished the campaign. And I got to the multiplayer. And I got to be honest, I have no desire to keep playing. And that is something that should be addressed in reviews. Well, people are giving it 9s and 10s, and I agree that it could be a 9, maybe. 8.7, 8.5. But I don't agree it's a complete 10, because like Eric was saying, you have to address multiplayer issues. And even though people are hailing it as completely revolutionizing the multiplayer assets of
it's backwards.
It is backwards. It's as if they took the complaints from campers, snipers, spawn killers like us. Just kidding. That's a really good site, by the way, spawnkill.com. You should go visit it. It took the complaints of people who likely camp and love huge maps and love to use modded controllers, and they catered to them. It's overly bloated now. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was what the main complaint in World at War, and I liked it mainly for the guns. But I don't know. I think a lot of people said that World at War the maps are too big. You know, people are just camping. Personally, I don't like the word camping, and I only like to use it when spawn comes in front of it, because in games like that, it's geared for you to, like, okay, I'm gonna put myself in the best position where if anyone comes around, they're gonna die. You know, I'm gonna get the jump on them. And I know, like, you know, Halo 2 was kinda like that, where you're gonna find a spot where you have the advantage, because you're in that part of the map where if they were to come at you, you get a shot at them first, or you know, they can't really shoot at you from where they are, so they have to come out. But I mean, that's just really map design, and a lot of people are saying, oh man, the maps in Modern Warfare 2 are so good, they're so much better than Call of Duty 4. But it's really not. I think it's what World at War was, to be honest. I mean, it's a lot of maps where it's really big. There are a lot of corners where you have to come around where you're blind, and people are going to be waiting for you right there. There are a lot of spots where you can put yourself in a place where there are walls around you, and as soon as someone comes around, you kill them. And me and you, Steph, when we were playing, I mean, we saw that, right? In that one map, I forgot what it's called. It's, like, raining, and there's a broken down, like, I guess freeway above us or something, and there's a lot of houses where we were in that boiler room, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and I told you, I was like, this is the best spot to go. And I'm sure, you know, those of you who are playing.
But I felt dirty doing that. About. I mean, that was like the first time I played as a camper. It was disgusting. And I couldn't believe that I reduced myself to that. But we went like 30-0 or something.
Yeah, yeah. I went like 22-0. I didn't die at all.
And I died once.
Like 28-1.
Yeah.
And we basically carried the team.
It was sick, but...
But that's
in a bad way.
That's not how I would like to play. I like to be loud and obnoxious. I like to run in gunning, just guns blazing.
I do too.
I don't like to sit and wait. There's no fun in sitting and waiting unless you like to snipe. I agree.
There's no skill involved. There's no skill involved in that. And all the maps, like you guys said, they're incredibly large, but there's no variety to the maps. I feel like, yeah, they're different colors. I don't know what you want me to say, but
different rusts and browns.
Different environments. Yeah, but they're all essentially the same. There's no variety. At first, they had a map called Rust. I'm a free-for-all player myself most of the time. I don't play Team Deathmatch too much, or at least for Call of Duty 4, that's how I was. But there was this map called Rust, and it was really small. But it never shows up in the rotation anymore. The first few days, it would come up, like, all the time. And I was like, yeah, this is my map. It was, like, the equivalent of Kill House in Call of Duty 4.
It's a good map.
It's a great map. It's a
real good map. And it looks good, too.
And you can't camp in it. You can't. You can. Nope. That's not true. You can. I've seen a couple spots in the middle if you go in that little... Under the, there's, like, yeah, wood.
But not, like, camping, like, you don't die. You'll die.
Eventually, you might get, like, definitely.
Yeah, you might, because it's small. You might get, like, 5 kills.
Just throwing that out there.
But it's a great map, and it's was the most fun map, but it just never shows up in the rotation anymore. Honestly, I feel like I get high rise every time, and while that is a good map, one of the very few good maps, I mean, I don't want to play it every single time, and it shows up a ridiculous amount in the rotation.
Call of Duty 4 felt so much more personal. You actually wanted to interact with your squad, like, say you get matched up with a team and you didn't really cooperate at first, but Call of Duty's personal nature kind of coerced you into actually wanting to do well, like, in search. You would be able to memorize the maps because they're moderate size. They're not huge, not like Bog or anything.
Right.
Even Bog wasn't that big, neither was Block.
That was a great map. It was my favorite, I think, besides Kill House.
Oh, you like Bog? Yeah. I mean, people would camp in the school bus in the middle of the map. I think it was a school bus. I don't even remember now. But,
that's a terrible place to camp.
Yeah, they just lay down in the seats. But it just had a more personal nature. Everything was concise. And I feel like going into Modern Warfare 2, there's so many extraneous things that don't need to be there, such as the... I don't know what it's called, because I've only played the multiplayer, like, an hour, because I couldn't stand it. The perk that, scrambles the map. That's the last thing that I want, is to not know how to go around a map that I've never even been on before. That just irked the hell out of me.
Yeah, because they did away with, they didn't do it. They have that, it's a kill streak. I think it's at 4, where you get the counter UAV.
Oh, yeah.
So it scrambles everything, but then they also have the other perk, I think it's like the third one, the yellow one. It's called Scrambler. That one, when someone's around you, it'll scramble the map.
But that's stupid, because then you know somebody's really close to you, and you can just hunt them down real easily.
I don't use that anymore. I used it to get some quick XP points, but, like, it's really bad.
But because you become an easy target.
As soon as I see my map start to get a little messed up, then I'll instantly just put myself in a corner and, like, wait for someone to come around. And you could tell, too, because it'll get, like, a little fuzzy, and then all of a sudden you can't see anything on your map, and you know the guy is right there. So
yeah, when it gets really fuzzy, my senses, like, get really heightened, and I know he's, like, on top of me, and I have to get him. Like,
exactly.
And I always do. But they also have the perk where you can be, it's called Ninja, and it makes you not show up on radar when somebody has a UAV. I believe, yeah.
Oh, no, Ninja is the heart sensor one. Cold-blooded is the other one.
Oh, okay. Well, the heartbeat sensor is actually a useful tool, but since a lot of people have been using Ninja, it's becoming less useful.
Yeah.
And have you guys, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen it by now, but the helicopter, the gunner? That has to be the cheapest thing I've ever seen in any video game in my life since birth.
I'm lucky I haven't seen it yet.
What is that? You automatically win when you get it, pretty much. I mean, you get to control a helicopter, and literally it shows you where everybody is on the map, and you can just shoot at them, and they just die, unless they're in a house. And even then, you can still get them if there's a window. And if you don't win...
I've been shot through the house before.
Yeah, me too. And if you can't win, if you're using that, you are just... fucking
the worst
retarded.
player in the world.
I've encountered a lot of people using the damn nuke.
I've never been in a game where the nuke has come up, but that could probably be because I haven't really played against high ranked people.
Well, I'm sure there weren't that many in the first place, though, with people just starting out.
I've come across a lot of people using it. It's when you have, I think you get a 30 kill streak. 30 or 25?
25, I think. I don't know anymore.
25, I think you're right.
I'm never going to get one.
When you get a 25 kill streak without dying, if you have that perk enabled, the kill streak enabled, of course. But everybody just automatically dies when you have it. And it's just, it's obnoxious.
But
they got it from camping.
Making people camp. Yeah, it's making people camp. that's what it does. It forces people to camp. And well, I don't want to say it's not just that perk that does it. I mean, it is a mass, but
no,
I'm saying,
definitely
like,
not.
When you have perks like that, when you the kill streaks, see, that's what everybody like was so hyped about, was the kill streaks. But then I was telling my buddy, I'm like, well, the kill streaks are so long, you're going to want to just not die.
Exactly.
So you're just going to sit in some place in the map where you know, okay, this guy's not going to get me, and then I'm going to be able to get like 10, 11 kills and then call in like a Pavlo or something.
Right.
And take him out. But I don't know. I mean, I'm used to it because World at War, I played it like that. You know, it's the maps are so big, you can't just run around because someone's going to get you.
Either with a gun or with a tank.
Most of the time. Yeah, well, I don't mind the tanks because in the bigger maps, it's
the
good,
tanks are
you know?
Fun when you can battle against tanks, but not when they're chasing you and the whole entire other team has the tank and they're just kind of gunning you down on the ground.
Yeah, that
And then the glitch on the one map, I forget which one it was. But they got under the map and it was ridiculous and they finally fixed it, I think.
Oh yeah, they got rid of they fixed it, but it was like real late when they fixed it.
Yeah, it happened like every game I had.
But I don't know, I mean it's just like
it's the way it's set
there's
up.
There's just there are definitely things about Modern Warfare 2 that I really just think that they kind of they went away from what made Call of Duty 4 so good. And
it gets to their heads. I mean, no insult or anything, but I mean, Call of Duty 4 was already huge on its own. Don't get me wrong. And the whole franchise on its own was already huge. It didn't. Modern Warfare 1 did make it the multiplayer phenomenon that changed the series, I would say. But things get to their heads and it swells and they change things from what they originally were. It happens with every franchise, unfortunately.
I have really lost respect and remember, for the Infinity Ward as a whole after this whole entire debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I got an achievement to say, man. That's our spawn kill achievement sound.
I mean, it's like, I think I said this last time where, you know, Call of Duty used to be known for their, like, sound, their audio, and even that, they didn't really do too well. You know, the guns sound the same, and, you know, people walking around, the sound effects, there's just too
lazy.
Much. In some of the maps, there's, like, the sound, see, in World at War, it was like this, where if you were on one side of the map, and a firefight was going on the other side, your audio would reflect that, but in Modern Warfare 2, it doesn't. So when you're on one side of the map and there's a lot of fighting going on another side, you hear it as if you're right there.
I do feel like that too. I noticed that.
Yeah, there's just so much noise and things that are happening around you. It's so loud.
Especially for the size of the map, it's a little questionable.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, just, and I don't know, it's a little overwhelming. And I don't know, it's like, that's what I keep saying. If they had 1 year and they gave us this, okay. But they had 2 years and they gave
us
this.
And I'm also deeply offended that they say this is what the fans wanted. No.
Yeah.
Because I don't recall any single person saying, hey, let's not allow fans to use the Xbox Live's functionality. Let's just force them to talk to whoever.
Oh, yeah. What was that about?
I mean, who asked for that? And you can't force gamers to play the game that you want them to
play.
They
added a patch that allows you, but
really, I haven't been on there lately. That's how much I care.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't either.
I would just completely
because I know you can use private chat.
Yeah, we were using private chat when we were playing. The patch isn't fully functional, though. I know it allows you to party chat only in certain modes.
That's
so it's their choice.
Yeah, and see, they're trying. I don't know. They're probably trying to promote teamwork.
Yeah, but I don't
want to
be
but
team
like,
with these little boys and
no one cares
these,
about
like,
them, but anyone but themselves on Call of
it's,
Duty.
It's Xbox Live. I mean, there's
I
rude players. There's people that I don't want to work with. I just want to play the game. I mean, I'll be cooperative. I'll do what I have to do, but you do not have to have a mic and you do not have to talk to them to play.
We don't have to be babied and babysitted in order to, well, babysat, grammar fail, in order to play a game. I mean, that's just like slapping a controller in our hand and saying, here, you better play the game the way it's meant to be played or you're going to get kicked off the internet. The internet police are going to take you away. That's what I feel like.
Oh, no. Wee, 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 wee.
I'm going to call a wham up in this bitch.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's still fun. You know, I don't... but I think it's
fun, but it's got nothing on Call of Duty 4. Yeah, I'd much rather. Honestly.
It's incredibly overrated. I feel that way. It's totally overrated.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people, even with the first one, they didn't look at it really critically, and they just see, okay, this is what we wanted. This is just like Call of Duty 4, so it's good. But, I mean, I put a lot of hours into it.
I think we all do.
And it's not like I'm not, you know, and I hate these people because I've said this in forums, and I talk to people in forums, and like, oh, this guy must suck. Like, you know what? I know this game isn't as good, and because... What I had like a 3.2 kill death ratio in the last one, and now I'm at like 3.67 or 1.67, and I'm starting with the basic weapons still, and it's because I'm so used to camping from World at War and just putting myself in a spot where I know, you know, these guys are gonna come around, so I'm gonna get them first. That the weapons in Modern Warfare 2 and all of their perks, like the Bling perk, allows me to just be better than most people at the game.
I know you guys mentioned the fact that the maps are too large in Modern Warfare 2, but hear me out. This is my major gripe. The fact is, like, in Modern Warfare 1, the maps were very varied. You would have, you know, you would have your large sniping maps, you would have your medium maps where you could either snipe or run and gun, whatever your playstyle was. You had the option to choose how you wanted to play. There were your small maps, like Kill House, where, you know, fight for your life, run, kill them, get them, go, whatever.
Shipment.
And that was great. Shipment was pretty badass if you threw a ton of people in a private match there. But regardless, like, it was very varied for your playstyle, for anybody. But Modern Warfare 2 is one playstyle. That's why everybody's being forced to play this way. But my thing is, this is what I think. I mean, I don't know, but pretty damn freaking confident that if you guys remember when Modern Warfare 2 got a release date around E3, they were like, and by the way, there's going to be 2 map packs available right
cheered.
Away. And people fucking cheered. I wanted to beat the shit out of them. How do you cheer for that? Like, it was already ready. That means it was done, completed, finito. Like, they could have just stuck it on the disc, but they didn't, because obviously we'll pay for it because we're retarded. I'm not going to, by the way. I will not pay for it. I paid for the variety map
versus, and I never will.
Fuck that shit.
That was the worst experience of my life.
But this is my thing, though. I think these maps, I think they already know this, that the fact that these maps that we already have are not varied, and they're going to add a pack that probably might vary it up. There might be small, there might be medium, there might be large, there might be different, you know, different, that cater to different play styles. And they know that, and I feel like they already have that planned, because people will buy it, and then people will stop bitching, and people will be happy, and they made double the money.
I don't think they
really sincerely care, as long as they sell what they thought they were going to sell. And they did. So now that it's sold, and now that people are playing their game, what do they care? I mean...
But if some people are unhappy with it, and they want new maps, and they're bored of these maps, I mean, they're going to want it.
Well, yeah, people are going to want
They're going to want new ones.
But with the way Infinity War...
Quick. I mean, I'm tired of the ones I played already. The rotation's weak.
They keep adding new play type or game types, though. I see that all the time. And I'm just like, why are you worried about game types when you could be fixing pertinent issues?
Yeah,
I always seem to play this.
I get Afghan every time.
I always seem to play the same map. And see this is another thing. And everybody was saying, like, oh, World at War wasn't good because it was Treyarch or whatever. But I'm seeing a lot of the same complaints that people had with World at War in Modern Warfare 2. And World at War, people always complained that, you know, you're always getting the same maps. You're getting, like, you know, the same 4 every time. And then they throw out a map pack and you barely see the map pack. And this is what's happening in World at Modern Warfare 2. But no one's complaining about it.
Because it's not Treyarch.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense because it's the same thing. I mean, The maps, yeah, they are big, but it's not just that they're big, but it's there are a lot of open spaces. So there's a lot of ground where there's no buildings to go into, or there's not things to hide behind or to get cover. So that open space doesn't make you want to just run out or run around the map. And people do it, and some people are successful, but most people aren't. So I don't know.
Well, tying this back into our original subject, how we have to be objective about reviewing games such as this, where you have a pretty great single-player experience, but looking at it objectively, you have a pretty mediocre multiplayer. Do you score it perfectly based on the single-player's merits, or do you score it lower because the multiplayer just isn't up to snuff, and that's how it is lately? I mean, unless it's a Call of Duty or a Halo, chances are the multiplayer is not going to catch on. That's how it's been the past couple years.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
I mean, fighting games, it shouldn't be like that, but it really is. So much time is spent on making just a carbon copy multiplayer mode. Like, Section 8 was an okay attempt, but it ended up being so much like Halo and emulating other games that it was just, it failed ultimately.
This is...
And I think that...
Go ahead.
You can go ahead.
Well, I mean, personally, this is why I really enjoyed Killzone 2 and their multiplayer, because it's the way they have it, you know, it's kind of PC like, where there's different games that you can go into. You can choose the game that you want to go into. Either it's the deathmatch or create your own and just wait for people to join. You know, it had deathmatch and the objectives. So it really was conducive to teamwork the whole time, and you got different classes. So if you saw too many people with one class, you would change to another class and play as that. So you would, you know, you want to play as a team. And the maps were really big, but it was also 32 player multiplayer. And I don't know, I mean, I think people overlooked it because it wasn't a World at War or Call of Duty 4 or like a Halo. Their multiplayer, I think they got it right. I mean, they had the option to create your own game for bots. They had a reason to have a clan tag, because your clan would actually play against other clans for, you know, these valor points or whatever. And, you know, you work to try to get up in the leaderboards. But, you know, I think a lot of people overlooked it because it wasn't one of those big titles, and because it was a PS3 exclusive. But I think they got it down.
I really enjoyed Killzone 2. I mean, I haven't finished the campaign yet. I'm buried in so many other games with my pile of shame over there in the corner. But it was a great game. It was graphically impressive. The storyline, I was kind of meh on. It played awesomely. But I haven't really dabbled in the multiplayer, but hopefully that's something I can get into soon if it's as good as you say. And maybe Stephanie can get in on the Killzone action there.
All right.
What do you think with the new PS3?
Ooh, do you want to hear my Black Friday story?
Oh, yeah.
I was actually really scared. Don't laugh at me. Because last year, the boy who was trampled to death and killed was actually at the Walmart store really close to my house. What?
I was asking if he was at the Twilight show.
No, but it was in front of Walmart that when they were waiting out line and going in the store, they trampled an employee and killed him at, it was in the Walmart in Valley Stream, New York, which is very close to my house. I didn't go to that one, but I called ahead of time like a total nerd. I was like, well, is it going to be safe? What are you guys doing to be safe? I don't want to die for a PlayStation.
Are you sure?
And
you're not a gamer if you won't die for a PlayStation. So says forum user Tetis 47,500 loves Yuna.
X
times 5 emo.
The store was actually open 24 hours, which was a very, very good plan, I have to say. It was really, really good. Now, if only the store was organized, that would be another thing. If you wanted a laptop, good luck. You have to wait in the gardening section. If you want to find out where to wait, good luck, because the Walmart employees have no idea. So, yeah, I waited on the electronics line for a while, and then some lady was like, we're sold out of DSs. And I was like, what the fuck? It's 3 a.m. How are you guys sold out of DSs? And I was like, she asked me what I was waiting for, and I said, oh, I'm waiting for PlayStation. She's like, oh, you're in the video game section. What are you doing? And I was like, waiting for a video game? And she's like, no, you have to go to the sporting goods section. And I was like, oh, great. So I'm online in the sporting goods section, and we're waiting, and we're just chilling out. It's like 3 a.m. We have a few more hours to go. There's some, you know, rampant soccer moms screaming their heads off about not getting a DS. The sale wasn't even good on that, so, but whatever. But I just had to have the PS3. Like, it was, you got it for $2.99. You got the PS3 Slim, you got Infamous, you got Batman. The big hard drive. And, yeah, and you got The Dark Knight on Blu-ray. I was crazy. This is like the bundle of a lifetime for me.
Yeah,
I was
you
so
had
excited.
Me. You had me up on the West Coast, waiting if you
oh
can get
God.
It to log in and buy it online.
Yes, I had him on my account just in case they sold out to have him automatically purchase it real quick for me. But I got it.
They had a lot of.
I was number 16 out of. They had 17 PS3s at the store, and I was number 16.
Nice.
Bless my soul.
I waited for a while to buy my boyfriend a GPS. They had a lot left.
It got pretty crazy, though. Like, people couldn't find where they wanted to wait, and then when they finally figured it out, they started figuring it out around 5 a.m., and they were, like, beating. They were, like, crazy, screaming, like, what the hell? I didn't know you had to wait over here. What the hell? This is sporting goods. And this one guy got pissed because they couldn't find the PlayStations, and it was, like, 5 a.m., and we hadn't seen them yet, and then it was 6 a.m., and we hadn't seen a PlayStation yet.
Damn.
And he grabbed a machete off the shelf, and he opened it up, and he's, like, swinging it around. He's, like, animated and pissed off. And I was like, whoa, watch where you're swinging.
Damn.
It was, people get crazy over
Jacob?
A sale. It was, I was just surprised. That
yeah.
was crazy.
I mean, the...
That's alphanumeric.
But I got it. I got my PlayStation, yay. And next month, when I'm playing it, I'll have to add all my cool people.
Definitely,
except
from definitely.
You don't have a Bluetooth.com. And neither do I.
I don't have a Bluetooth headset, but maybe I'll eventually.
We can Quincy
I mean,
each other
I'm sure you
home.
Can get some pretty cheap ones.
I mean, I'm up for that.
I'll call you on the telly.
We can like, shop for clothes together on home because...
You know what we could do? We could go... Yeah, we could get dresses, and I'll... You know what we could do? I'll have my Xbox plugged in and my PlayStation plugged in, right. And I'll log on to Xbox Live, and we'll talk on the headset on Xbox, but I'll have my TV input set to the PlayStation.
Yeah, because we're smart like that. We use switchers, because it's too hard to unplug and plug in the other thing, because I know all about that. That's really hard.
Oh, actually, I don't know if I can do that. I might be able to. I don't know if I have enough HDMI ports on my television.
I put all my video games on one switch port.
Women
are stupid. Because it would be so cool.
Anyway, no, you know, I wanted to get Left 4 Dead at, Best Buy, but I went to one in LA, so I was down there visiting family, and I guess it was, like, the biggest and newest one, and the line literally went from the front all the way to the back, and zigzagged when it was back there, too, and people were waiting in line for ever. I couldn't believe it. There was so many people waiting, and there wasn't enough staff to help it out. They had some really good deals too. But as soon as I saw that, and I went at like when we got there, it was like 7:30. I saw that and I was like, forget it. There's no way I'm waiting here. And they were already sold out of all the Left 4 Deads, anyways. So, but I ended up going to another Best Buy at around like 12 o'clock. And they had a ton of them, including, like, Dragon Age and all the other ones that they had on sale. I think Brutal Legend was one of them. And all the EA games were there, too, so.
Dragon Age!
I got Dragon Age from Best Buy. I got it online. I had to get it shipped to the store because I'm lazy. And I didn't want to Samba Dijane all the way down to the store.
But, yeah, it was really crazy. I mean, I went shopping for a lot of stuff for, like, snowboarding and stuff. But, like... We went to a sporting goods store, and there was a Best Buy across the street, and it was like 3 o'clock.
Were they selling PlayStation 3s in the sporting goods store?
It was 3 o'clock, and people were waiting outside of Best Buy, that Best Buy, to go in, just to get their stuff. And apparently, when we went over there just to ask people, you know, what was going on, that was the only Best Buy, I guess they said, that they could find that still had all of those like video games and all that stuff that they wanted. So there's one guy in there who was saying he was waiting for to buy all those EA games and all the like FIFA and all that stuff. So I told him about the other one. I was like, just go there, man, because 3 o'clock and he's waiting outside to get in.
You know, some people might say the best way to get games is to, you know, spend money on them, but we all know that the best way to get them is to win them from Spawnkill. Duh.
That's a fancy segue. We can do that. That was nice.
Yes. Yes, I wrote it all the way to this point in the podcast. Did you like it?
It was good. It was good.
I wrote it. Anyway, we're giving away a game right now. We're going to be giving away the original Call of Duty for Xbox 360. And it's pretty easy to enter. All you need to do is listen to the last podcast about Modern Warfare and comment and tell us what you liked and what you agreed with or what you didn't agree with. Just leave us your opinion. It's as simple as that. Seriously, it's not that hard. It's really simple to enter. You don't even have to do anything important. Just leave a comment. Register if you haven't already registered, which I know that most of you little grubbers haven't. And use a valid email address. Also, you can't enter if there is an 8 in your name or the handle that you go by, and it rhymes with Asti. Just want to let you know. So, if you meet those criteria, don't bother entering, because we will ignore you. And a pro tip here, sentences reading, you guys suck, Call of Duty is good, we're not going to look at those. So yeah, just don't waste your time. Don't waste
your
time
gonna get
with
a,
that garbage.
You're not going to get a copy of Pro Evo.
Pro tips are pretty rare here at Spawnkill, so I would take that one with butter and gravy.
We like to give you all a chance to help you help yourselves. So yeah, just elaborate. Give reasons. Hint, we might choose one that actually, you know, makes sense. You know, I don't know. You might want to try making sense in the comments.
Coherent sentences help.
And not begging.
Absolutely.
Begging will not get you anywhere. If you want to beg, you can go sit on the street or, you know, get one of those job thingies. They're pretty cool.
So after you listen, please leave us a comment. Tell us how whatever you thought it was, or if you want to enter the contest, whatever, let us know how we're doing.
We love feedback.
We do want feedback. We love feedback. And that's how we'll do more podcasts, because we want your love.
If you love us, then you'll listen to the podcast, Anita. So yeah, if you want to enter, just leave us a comment. And while you're at it, read one of our several expertly written reviews and editorials.
The contest ends December 14th, so just make sure to have your comments in by then if you're trying to win. And let us know what console you play on, PS3 or Xbox, and it'll be of your choice.
Maybe. I'm just joking, yeah. It'll be your choice. I think that about wraps it up. You guys have anything you want to add?
I just want to give a shout out to K-Suck, who edits this shit together.
Yeah,
God bless her.
Kevin, darling.
Last time was kind of rough. This time it should be a little bit better, hopefully.
It was, thanks.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be cheese and gravy. Well, we thank you all for downloading or streaming or whatever you're doing right now. Furiously, whatever. Whatever is your bag. Really appreciate your time, and we hope you continue to visit Spawnkill for your everyday gaming needs, and we'll see you guys later.
Peace!
Later, guys.
Signing out.